Hi. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi.
I think, do we have everybody?
Are you there, Don?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can everybody else hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Don.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay.
So, as you know, Don and I have been doing this show now for how many months, Don?
Well, pardon me, there's a lot of distortion noise, isn't there?
Am I distorted?
No, can you guys hear me still?
I can hear, well, you're very quiet.
You've gone very quiet, Don.
Okay, how's that?
You're faint, Don.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
You're getting better.
Okay, how's that? Maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
Okay, that got rid of the distortion.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been doing this since August, I think it is, isn't it?
Since last August?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. And we don't usually have guests, so this is we've had just a couple of guests in the course of the show. And I know that Don really endorsed Nick and Sylvia, but I haven't had the time. I've been on the road to know a little bit about you both. So the theme of the show, Nick, is that, do you know anything about, I just got a question.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about me?
Yeah, we've read up a bit.
Yeah, I got on the internet today and had a little look at your site and everything.
Oh, well, thank you. You're one step ahead of me.
Great.
That's better to be honest.
Oh, hey, absolutely.
I'm doing a talk tomorrow in Sacramento, so I'm on the road right now. And I've been preparing for it, and I didn't know Don even sent me an email, or I would have taken.
That's okay. You know, the one thing that I wanted to say is that since you don't know who Nick and Sylvia Avery are, Nick actually is a deep trance medium.
He's a trance medium.
Correct. He has an entity. Well, let's introduce them, and they'll tell you. Folks, it is an absolute pleasure, and I'm sorry about this microphone here giving me a little trouble, but it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nick and Sylvia, I want you to know something.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you. But Don is always a nice guy, and I'm always not. So I always stick my foot in my mouth and get myself in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But my goal in the show is not only to introduce people, but to establish a community between the four of us.
Yeah.
Between now and the time the show is over. And so I always kind of nudge to say, let's get to this, let's get to that. Because
you're a big believer in group energy.
Yeah, well, I see that our world is going through phenomenal changes right now, and that there's something bigger happening than I don't know if you studied my site well enough to pick this up, but according to people who are channeling all over the world right now, we're going through what they call a dimensional shift at the end of a 75,000-year cycle where there's nothing in history to correspond to what that is. And so that's usually what Don and I talk about, and Don has studied it enough himself to say that there's something to it. And sometimes people have not tapped into that. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I guess, If you have a shift in anything, it can be in people's perception or thought or reality of how they see and view life, can't it? I mean, as well as being a physical thing, it can also be something which is which we identify in a genetic way.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, so basically what Mick and I do is, so there are actually five of us in on this show today, because what usually happens is...
Well, actually, there's more than that, isn't there?
Well, yes, there is, but what usually happens is we don't actually do an awful lot of speaking. the spirit guide who Mick channels is Gregory Hay, and he usually is the one that takes all the questions about what.
I see. So
he doesn't remember. You see, when he goes off into deep trance, he doesn't remember what happens. Then he just, an entity takes over basically and uses him as a portal to deliver information, and it's a complete basically symbiosis, if you will, between the two. And it's just the energy that I've felt when I talk to them. And I'm going to tell you, and this is for my audience too, because I really think you should tune into their show, because the energy that they have put forth, and I feel it, and they've done some tremendous things, and Gregory Hay has done as well. This is a remarkable meeting and opportunity, and I always feel that way when I talk to Mick and Sylvie Avery, because it's just really that wonderful to be sharing another hour with them.
That's really sweet.
Thank you.
Well, listen, before Gregory comes on,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you, I don't know which one of you wants to answer this, but why don't you share how this phenomenon started for you? How did you go from being a normal person to suddenly channeling Gregory Hay, and have you channeled other people?
Yes, but that was in the beginning. Basically what happened when I was 40, I was looking for what I was trying to, what am I here for? I had already met Sylvie, and she was going to a spiritualist church in England. There are thousands of them in England. It's very popular. And I started going there and meditating. And basically what happened, we went to a lot of physical seances, that's physical in the real sense, of materialization and direct voice. And what happened was at one of these, a spirit guide came through and actually said that they'd, all the people there had been assembled to develop me as a deep trance medium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happened. It took about a year to 18 months, but we were sitting every single day of the week for that time.
Wow.
And that was about 12 years ago?
Yeah, about 12 years ago that was. And about 70 or 80 different people actually used me as a vehicle before Gregory Hay came.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it in a nutshell. I mean, I don't do a lot of the great spiritual things. I'm not, I'm just an ordinary person who actually has an ability to be completely unconscious at will.
So you don't remember what you say?
No, nothing at all. I remember leaving my body, and I remember sometimes the journeys they take me on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they take me in the spirit world. Sometimes I'm taken to the bottom of the ocean or some other place. You know, a bit like that you might experience if you're meditating, same kind of thing.
So you come back in your body and it's like, what just happened?
Well, yeah. When we do live presentations, it's 2 hours or more, two and a half, maybe 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it. And I won't know of anything that's happened or taken place.
When Gregory comes through, what kind of information does Gregory, right? Gregory,
yes.
Yeah.
What kind of information do people ask? What kind of things does he cover?
It's all about our evolution, what we're doing to the planet, that sort of thing. Trying to instill some harmony back into the human race. We don't do clairvoyance and that sort of thing. Well, we do private readings, that sort of thing, but not. We don't do it on air.
Yeah.
But it's all to do with our journey and aiding us in that way,
Wonderful journey.
So we'll be talking to Gregory.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything that I should or shouldn't cover? I mean, is there anything out of bounds to talk about?
Well,
no.
Can we call in an energy, a little...
Spirit.
Can we, before you call in Gregory, maybe just do a little... calling in the light? Wynn loves to do that with group energy.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Sure, yeah.
Wynn, sorry?
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, don't forget that it's okay for you guys to talk while I'm going off or whatever. It only takes about a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me ask another question.
Yeah.
Sylvia,
yeah?
Before Nick goes off,
yeah.
Now, you don't channel yourself, right? You hold the ground for Nick?
When I'm doing this, what I'm doing is I do my own thing separately to this, but when I'm working this way with Mick and Gregory, I supply the energy for him to do it.
Yeah, for the actual physical mechanism that the spirit world have put in place for this to happen.
If you like, you can ask Gregory about how physically it happens.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite scientific and it's quite interesting, you know.
Where are you guys physically right now?
Well,
Oregon.
We're in Oregon.
In Oregon, okay. So Don wanted me to call in the light.
Okay.
This is like my little, we usually do this at the end, and we'll do it again at the end. I'll just do it fast. It's kind of like a prayer of protection, and that Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for the presence and protection of the Christed energies, and that anything that should come through here and be broadcast be in that light and for the highest good of all concerned, and we are honored to have such evolved, if that is the correct word, perhaps not, as enlightened guests to share their experience of bringing forth intelligence from higher dimensions into this plane. And on that note...
And I'd just like to say, and we welcome all the energies that are present this time.
Welcome all the energies that are present, yes. All the energies that are service to other positive energies that are present.
That's correct. Okay. Thank you, Wynn.
Lovely.
And so, on that note, look, Sylvia?
Yep, Gregory's here.
Can I talk to you while Gregory is going into his state?
Well, Gregory is here now, but you can talk to me as well.
Gregory is here.
Yeah. He went off while you were doing the invocation.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Gregory, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Greetings, friend. And once again, of course, it is with the utmost love that we are here. All of us in this group, in this team, we are so pleasured and honored, as always, to be able to be in this form of vibration. And we thank you so much for inviting us.
It's just terrific to have you. I'm just so glad to have you once again.
Gregory, since this is my first introduction to you, I always like to know a little bit about the history of somebody, of yourself as an entity.
Yes.
And what dimension you're in. Are you part of a group? Are you an individual entity? Do you have an incarnation on Earth? Did you have incarnations on other planets? Do you mind sharing some of that with us?
Yes, my friend. I am Gregory Hay. I was born in 1705 and I passed in 1723. I lived near to the village of Swaffham in the county of Norfolk, in a part called the Fens. I was just 18 and a half years of age when I was run over by a coach and four horses. It was late at night. I did not see them, nor did they see me. And that was the way of it. It was, in fact, on the night when records first began in England for the principal fact of measuring rainfall and climate change, which I do believe was the 13th of November. Mm-hmm. I am basically the principal speaker, spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. This is a group of individuals who have all had a physical life. We have been assembled by White Cloud, who is a shining one. White Cloud himself was a Cherokee native who actually lived in physical time many hundreds of years ago. Basically, what our group represents is information. We have studied long and over many different strains of theory. We are non-religious in basis, therefore we do not hold to any one single religious belief currently uttered in physical life. That is because religious belief tends to be tainted by the very word of belief. It is not structural truth, necessarily. Basically, we are here because we are a factual entity. There are many thousands at this moment listening to this situation. We are, as it were, upon an auditorium in the spirit world. We are set upon a platform where there are many thousands of individuals watching and listening to the proceedings. And that is basically the way of how the group works. We actually brought about the significant mechanism to employ our dear friend here to be able to be used in this way, specifically for this task and none other. Well, and so it is that we have all continued to exchange and create in the spirit world after our physical passing. Currently, it is thought by many that people do not create in the spirit world, that you have to continue to have physical life in order to regurgitate creation and therefore bring elements to the consciousness to enable that creation to take place. What we are here to show people is that all of those relatives of yours, uncles, aunts, cousins, all of the grandfathers and ancestry who ever lived, continue to live. You are spirit, first and foremost. You are spirit as part of the whole creation, or God, perhaps, as you may call it. The oneness state of bliss is what awaits you in the spirit world because you are all a facet of that. Now, each and every one of you, the same as we on our side of life, are spirit. You have always been spirit because you are part of the Creator. Therefore, it is an anomaly to say that you have lives because you only have life. And that life is continuous, no matter where you are, in the precept of physical time and reference that you may understand time to be. Of course, there is no time in the spirit world, because there is the absence of physical matter. Matter is, in fact, created or illuminated, shall we say, through the consciousness state of the individual, helped by the Shining Ones, who actually organize and instrument that particulate memory for the individual. Shall I continue?
Well, that brings up can I bring up a question on that?
Of course.
I love the way you put that, but my question would be more around the, in these various spirit worlds, even though it isn't physical, it's still, you would say there is textures, colors, sounds.
Of course. Yes, of course there is.
Yeah.
But you must understand that the spirit world is in everything. It is where all physical matter exists and where all gas and non-physical matter exists. It is where space exists, black mass exists, is the spirit world. It is through the entire universe. Matter, after all, when brought together, occupies only such a small space. To bring an analogy would be if you looked upon a field and you saw a tree, a large tree standing within it. The tree itself looks so big as it occupies a large space upon the landscape. As you move up towards it, as you come gradually further and further nearer to the heart of the tree, you will see the mass becoming larger and larger, yet it is still the same size. Its mass actually only occupies a very small part of the section of gas and cloud and air that it does not occupy. Similarly, we in the spirit world and your spirit, currently residing within your physical body but not a part of your physical body, remains in the spirit world. It has never ever come to the physical life. You are always, as it were, having a foot in the spirit world and the other foot in physical life, but only temporarily, dipping your toes into the waters of it.
Gregory, can you see us through Nick's eyes, or can you see through Nick's eyes what the world looks like?
I can see that people have energy and people's color aura are well defined in the spirit world. People in the spirit world do not necessarily need to see logistically with physical eyes in order to understand or know the presence.
Mm-hmm.
What we actually see, my dear friend, are the wisdom within a self.
Mm-hmm.
What we understand and view about a person are their illnesses, the life that they have had, perhaps the situations which are placed around them, purely and simply because these are all identities which lie within the auric field.
Mm-hmm.
We may communicate, of course, with the spirit of that person, but we are not here to interfere in any way, of course.
So you can essentially look at not the physical bodies, but the spiritual bodies of
yes.
us. And can you do that just by, say, for example, are you looking at Don and my physical or spiritual body right now? Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Now, if I said, could you see the spiritual body? I'm just trying to understand how it feels to be you or to
yes.
be in your existence. Could you see the physical body or the spiritual body of, say, Pamela Anderson?
Yes. I do understand where you are coming from, my dear friend. But I have to say that it is not the physical outline that I am party to. And I would not wish to state that one is familiar with it or not.
Okay.
I have to say, however, that for the grace of all beings, I am able to see a vague outline. Yes, we are, after all, what we eat. And you in physical life eat quite a lot. In the spirit world, of course, we don't have to do that because things are non-physical. We do not actually have that, although there are many beings on our side of life who clearly have to continue to do that because it is part of their conscious memory.
Mm-hmm.
As for how we see and understand different things in the spirit world, how it is depicted to us, I have to say that it is all about shared conscious memory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, if a person comes to the spirit world and they have all of these longings and wishes which were perhaps unfulfilled in their physical life, then many of these situations are in fact carried out in the spirit world. And how this happens is quite interesting, really. It is through the precipitation of the conscious stream, which has arrived with the spirit of the person now deceased. And the consciousness stream is what actually continues to help that entity to create in the spirit world. And so what actually happens is that it may be within the mind memory of the individual that they can remember situations in their life, perhaps walks in the park or whatever. It may be a particular building that they would have liked to have lived in, perhaps a small stone cottage and roses round the door and that kind of thing. You may have often heard of it depicted by perhaps people who have had different forms of transcommunication or psychic evaluation of people who have actually been passed in the spirit world and have come back to relay their thoughts and scenarios of what exactly is happening in their life now. And this is actually how it transpires. It is through the consciousness thought memory. It is a part of the cellular structure that the person had and engaged with when having a physical life, which then continues with the spirit and is actually played out with the spirit, not in an illusionary term, of course, but is actually something which is very real and dominates the spirit life. That is something which enables that spirit to continue to function, perhaps going to the halls of learning to re-study and learn other facets of life. Perhaps it is to actually look upon and share the values of other beings that they had never even met. Do not forget that a large portion of life, in fact, most of life, continues in the spirit world. It is non-physically reactive. It is only a very short time that you would spend in physical, as a physical entity, because most of the consciousness work that you do as an entity is in the spirit world. Please do not forget, of course, that as a spirit, you are perfect. It is only the physical attributes that you engage with in physical life which make you more sluggish, more dense and negative.
On your past life, that was your past life in the 1700s, yes?
That was my life, friend, as Gregory Hay.
That was your only, was that your only life in this realm?
Absolutely so. I was spirit before then, for eternity I have been spirit, because I am part of the creator of all things, or the oneness of all universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been my understanding that most entities down here have gone through many, 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 many lifetimes. So, is that your understanding also?
Well, I feel, my friend, that from our personal point of view, that is Brahmin theory.
Mm-hmm.
And what we base our etiquette and our knowledge upon is a factual analysis of events in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
So I hasten to say, to add, that that is actually an aspect of religious thought and structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is not to say that you as a being will never have another physical life, but that you will perhaps use another planet's source to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfortunate that human beings have taken this structure, once a simple idea, and compounded it into a structure of hierarchical stance, being that one must be ascended in order to be enlightened. One must grow through thousands of different ways of passing in order to experience all, when in actual fact, most of experience is learnt behavior, is learnt experience and shared experience through the soul group of whence you have come from.
Mm-hmm.
That experience is actually included in the whole dynamic of the whole range of possibility which for want of a better word, you actually experience other people's lives because they are close to you. You have given them your love when they have come to the spirit world to recount their journey, their physical life. You, my dear friend, when you pass to the spirit world, will have to recount your journey. Like it or not, you will have perhaps swept away things, negative traits and whatnot that people actually do, just like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in their physical life brings negative situation to their physical life because they are ignorant of the truth, or because they lack direction or understanding of the true value and worth of life.
Mm-hmm.
That is life in any field or realm of event. Now, if you yourself are wishing to communicate those facts when you have passed to the spirit world, there will be many thousands or hundreds of thousands of individuals there giving you love to help you to recreate that journey, that vision of your life. Whilst you are doing this and they are showering this love upon you, they are actually becoming so entwined with your journey that they actually take it upon themselves. Such is the bliss they feel and that you feel.
That is wonderful. You know, it always amazes me how when you know there's so many wonderful, wonderful spirits and energies, entities working with you and around you, and they love doing it. It's just, to me, the knowing that is beautiful.
The point is, my friend, you as human beings having a physical life do not really understand how you are loved. And it is not that we want gratitude for the love that we give you, but what we desire for you is that you forgive yourselves for these negative traits you bring about, or the indecisions, or for the mistakes that you make, and recognize them, be responsible for them, and understand that you as a being have this chance to move your planetary system of information forward. Human activity has continued for 5 million years upon the planet's surface, from its inception and division from ape-like creatures at the very beginning, at the outset, to what you see now is not a state of hierarchical ascensionism, but actually a manipulation and mutation of genetics. And in a physical way, that is how it has operated. It is not to say that if you see a monkey in a tree, or a rat in a sewer, or any other creature, that you are looking at or perceiving a lesser form. Unfortunately, human activity has dictated this hierarchical tree simply because human beings do not understand God. And God is within everything you see, whether it be a slug in the garden or a beautiful bird, whether it is a beautiful woman or a tree. It is still a part of the creative force of oneness, ruling the entire universe of life, a part of which you are a single, beautiful, and enigmatic part.
Gregory, can you tell us how we got created? How did our energies become defined and separated and individuated?
Well, if you look upon this, that it is as though you are a cell of a large being,
mm-hmm.
and that large being is of such immense proportions that you cannot see the edge of it. Mm-hmm. Because it is the manifestation of the entire universe, both physical dimensionally and within any state dimensionally, that you may or may not perceive. And it is actually that creation is growing exponentially. It is not actually shrinking, as many people think. So how you or how I became a single entity is because it has, that creation has always existed. Creation has never not existed. It isn't something that began as a pea and then suddenly exploded into the universe you now see, but has always existed. It is just really that the lateral form you see now, the physical state, is agreed that it is only has a certain lifetime. Yet, that is merely one dimension of the true state of creation. And you are experiencing just a small fragment of that creation step in your reality.
So if we really are, to backtrack just a sec, you said that creation is growing.
And that does not mean to say, I'm sorry to butt in here, but that does not mean to say that at one time creation did not grow or was not. All I'm saying is that it is ever changing.
Don, I want to make one comment, and that is, Gregory, you used exactly the same analogy that I use when I talk about this, where I say that each of us is like a cell, and all the cells together make up God.
Yes, but my point, my friend, is that all cells of every being are exactly the same. We are all a part of what God is. It is unfortunate, is what I am saying, that human beings do not understand or recognize the grace of God that is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that, unfortunately, brings limitation to the mind and understanding of the precious creation of all life, which is why people slaughter other things.
Mm-hmm. Don, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just listening.
I cut him off, friend.
You cut him off?
I did, yes. I am sorry, my friend. I just merely wanted to interject upon the moment.
Oh, no one cut me off. I didn't, I said exactly what I wanted to. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, Gregory, I have a rather unusual experience as a human, and I would like to just talk about my experience and run it against your understanding, see where it meshes. And say, for example, one thing, in terms of lifetimes, past lifetimes, I have no belief system that I base anything on. I have come to my own conclusions based on my personal experiences. So it's not like I have a religious belief that there's past lives.
I understand.
I myself have the same veil that all humans have, that I can't perceive things directly. And I'm rather scientific in the way I look at things. So I say I'm not going to believe something unless I can prove it to myself. And so one of the things that happened to me some years ago was I was writing music and hitchhiking around the country, and I was doing this for about 4 or 5 years, and somebody gave me a reading. He was a very wise man, and he had a lot of light. Whenever he would talk, the room would turn into what I would call light energy. I could feel and see the light for the first time around this person. And he told me a story, and he said, well, you're reliving a past life, and that it 1,000 years ago, you were a troubadour in England. And then he told me all the details of that life and how they were reoccurring and the people were reoccurring. And it did make some intuitive sense because it connected with some of my life conflicts, deep conflicts that I couldn't really explain from this particular lifetime. And then I realized that I had written a song that described the same past life 5 years before he gave me the reading. And it was like one of those songs that I wrote from stream of consciousness that I thought was I was making up some kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
And yet the song was precisely the same story that he told me. So I said to myself, the probability of that is pretty small, so that I accepted that it was probably true what he had told me, and that
yeah.
I have lived the past lifetime, and that that what I've heard other people say, and this one I can't particularly validate, is that when you're in this realm, you get trapped, you get caught into the it's a seductive realm, because there's things you seem to always want that you can't, you know, people go through their lives and they don't get what they want.
Yes, of course.
So when they die, they still have all those wants and desires with them, which, it kind of gives them the propulsion to come back in again and to try again. And
yes,
again.
I understand.
Yes. So that was one of my experiences. Then another of my more recent experiences is that I've had numerous conversations in a process called channeling, similar to the way that Nick is channeling you, but the who identifies themselves as coming through is not an individual entity, but rather a group soul. And these group souls seem to indicate that they have had a huge impact on our planet in terms of how people say, in terms of the Old and New Testaments, and they're very high and very closer to all that is than us, and they have taken an element of responsibility in our evolution, or attempted responsibility. And, there's been evidence in these conversations that it's been real, because I've had some miracles happen that shouldn't have happened. I've had a consistency over maybe 4 years of conversations that have been consistent, congruent, positive, wise, helpful, and miraculous. And I wonder, on your side, are you aware of huge group soul energies that are connected to you?
Well, my dear friend, the point I am raising here is that there are many groups. There are many groups who call themselves by different names.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have a definition of what that group represents.
Mm-hmm.
It will be that they will be under the auspices of whoever is actually leading that group at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is that what memories people have are not necessarily your physical life. I had to make the point because it is only because of proximity that people naturally assume it to be theirs, to be their ownership, to be their physical life, because it is so well remembered. What I am mm-hmm. saying to you is that through the condition of love as exists in the spirit world, which at its purest form is nothing like physical love, and perhaps you will have experienced this, in fact I sense that you have,
mm-hmm.
in dealings with meditation or in dealings with relationships with people on a spiritual level, that the love vibration that divines or defines that energy is something which is quite outside of your concept of normal physical reality. Therefore, in the spirit world, when you had met with many people, thousands of people you have met with as a spirit being, your consciousness stream could not normally have held that many visitations, that many correlated instances in your life journey. Therefore, what tends to happen is that there are misplaced representations of your meetings with them. So it will be that because of the love vibration and energy you gave to that person at the point of their recounting their physical life, you actually exchanged the energy with them. And that is the energy you are remembering, exactly as though it was your own. Yes, you will perhaps remember every fine detail, street names. You will remember perhaps mother, father, sister, brother, uncles, aunts, whoever it was within your genetic hierarchy tree of the ancestry that was remembered from that group. But I'm saying that this is within the soul group, which is of which there are many thousands of soul groups in the spirit world. A soul group is made of many thousands of people or individual spirit, or perhaps, to put it more succinctly, of many thousands or millions of beings of all different races, nationalities, different species, form, perhaps, if they are of a similar vibration. The whole point of the soul group is that it is a conglomeration of beings of a similar equitable energy of characteristic, that is the vibration of energy of love issuing from that soul, is something which is of perfect harmonic balance for all members of the group. Therefore, it is like your soul harbor. It is your welcoming place, your home, where you, my dear friend, will return upon your passing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're speaking from a soul group, every soul group yourself, correct?
That is true.
And is that whole group present while you're speaking?
It is. And I am the spokesperson for it, because it is more convenient to be able to use this platform in this way.
Mm-hmm. Are you telepathically, if I can use the word telepathically, connected to all the members of your group at this moment?
Oh, absolutely so. All are here, present, and waiting, and listening, and taking part, because they are bringing their energy forward to help the mechanism to actually continue to be validated within the physical dimension.
So as you compose your communications to us, you are having the assistance of all these additional members of your group.
Yes, that is true. All are putting in their two pennyworth or whatever it is.
And it happens instantaneously.
Yes. Of course, because thought is a living thing, friend.
And you can feel the interaction. It's like, in this realm, occasionally, when people kind of think of each other at the same time, it's like a small step towards that kind of interaction.
Yes, quite so. In fact, actually, I would have to say that many times when human beings have illumination, it is that they are tying into the consciousness stream of spirit reality, and of course what they are doing is raising their vibration through the loving energy of within a self, within the well of life that exists upon the spirit. They are actually tapping into that. You are tapping into that when you are inspired in music, whether you are inspired in writing. You are not only doing that, of course, you are also creating within a self. It isn't that everything comes from the universal stream, because otherwise that would deplete the whole reason for your having a free will existence, that is to express self in a physical way, in a creative way, hopefully, if that is something that you are aligned to do. Not all beings, of course, are able to do that. Some express themselves in a negative way and then kick themselves afterward when they return to the spirit world and see what a mess they've made.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, can you tap into... I understand there's a collective energy that all of humanity creates, a collective energy that's the Earth energy. Can you tap in and communicate with that energy also?
Well, I would have to say, my dear friend, if you are using the term the Earth energy, that is something else, because after all, a planet has its own energy and its own spirit. So, therefore, if you mean to say the raising of the human consciousness as an entity, I would have to say that interdimensionally, that may be actually very difficult, purely because many beings are of negative vibration, therefore disallow the access of the vibration necessary for all of humanity to communicate as one. This, of course, is something which continues to relate in the spirit world, because many beings who have created negative situations in their physical life carry on creating the same negative illusions in the spirit world. And it is only really until a person in the spirit world is able to see and identify the actual reasons for their negativity that they are then able to move on, which is actually a great deal of our work is engaged with many beings who are this way dissuaded from continuing to create in their spirit life. That does not mean to say we are lesser beings, but it means to say that it is unfortunate, you see, that all human beings tend to paint the situation between the upper house of spirituality and oneness or enlightenment with the state of whether a person is better than somebody else, whether hierarchically they are more knowledgeable, full of more wisdom, or a greater quality of wisdom, perhaps, than somebody else has. But that, of course, is all a matter of judgment of the individual, which, if you are an enlightened being, you wouldn't make any judgment. Which is why I find, actually, personally, a great difficulty with people who call themselves ascended in the first place. Because if they call themselves ascended beings, they cannot possibly be so.
Well, they're certainly creating a hierarchy. They're creating that they know something we don't. They're here to tell us we're here to find out.
Yes, I accept that. I do accept that. My problem is actually within people who state that they are giving you something that you actually, that they tell you that they do not know. It isn't necessarily that by telling you, you would know, because you may not relate to the instance of variance between the mechanic of the spirit world and the physical world. They may not actually be communicating that succinctly to matters in the physical world that you may attain at that moment, which means that, in fact, point of reference, you would actually only really purely attain wisdom and information and true knowledge for your life experience journey by your own recognizance.
Do you
When we've got about 2 minutes, so we might want to call in the light.
Oh, this has been going too fast.
It went so fast, I know. Time seems to be doing that.
Gregory?
Yes, my friend.
We do a calling in of the light at the end, and maybe we can extend the light to your realm, and you can extend your light to our realm. I mean, you're doing it anyway.
We are doing that now, friend.
And I acknowledge that, so that we just formalize it. Is there anything you would like to personally say to our listeners before we do that?
Yes, my friend. I would like to say, quite simply, the pleasure has been ours. It is for you, every one of you, to take responsibility for your actions, both physically, spiritually, mentally, and to all beings, we say, with love and guidance, we wish you well upon your pathway of joy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bringing your wisdom to us and your dedication to working with Nick and sharing this with people.
Thank you, sir.
And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each of us, each listener, Nick, Sylvia, Don, myself. And we extend this light. We ask each of you to see yourself as part of a cosmic flow right now. That flow may move through your body and that you can feel that energy, and you can feel the connection energetically with all of life and all other beings, and that you can experience that in your reality and perceive that everything is a bigger part of yourself, your greater self. And we ask for healing for our planet, for those close to us, for ourselves, for those that are deceased on the other side. We ask for the presence of all those higher forces that are service to others, working in the Christ of energy, to be present. And on that note, I wish you all a good night.
Thank you. Thank you. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And is Gregory gone?
Yeah, Mick's here now.
Yeah, I'm here now.
Thank you, Mick. What a wonderful interview. We're going to close the show now. And,
okay.
And get the next show on. But hey,
Mick, you don't remember anything, right?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Sylvia?
I hope it was all right.
It was fantastic.
Sylvia, was I okay? I wasn't.
You were great. You were great, yeah.
Okay, to our audience, coming up next, James Gilliland. Don't miss that show. It'll be coming up here in a few moments. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.